Well, I was lucky with my holidays because I had an aunt who I don't really think is a blood aunt, another one that lived in Great Yarmouth, South Beach Parade. She still lives there now, opposite the Big Dipper. And every holiday was spent, you know, our annual holiday, that, which used to be in August, though, then first 2 weeks in August. Every holiday we used to go to Great Yarmouth.
On the train?
Yes, we used to go on the train, but then my dad had a combination. So my mum and dad used to travel on the bike, and me and my sister used to be in the sidecar. We also used to go to Skegness for the day, Sutton-on-Sea for the day. They were like, if we didn't go away for a big holiday, then we'd perhaps have one day out on the train. But then for days out, say like at Easter, I can remember, I live at Thurmaston now, but our connection with Thurmaston really came when we were children. And I don't know how my parents first got connected with Thurmaston, but a day out for us, say at Easter, every Easter we used to have a new outfit of summer clothes. No matter what the weather, we wore them on Easter Sunday. And even if we could only afford one outfit a year, you know, summer outfit, you wore that on Easter Sunday.
Was that just a family tradition, or did everybody in the area? I don't know.
Well, I think most people did that because we didn't have new clothes all year round. Like my children, no matter what time of the year, if they needed something new, then if we could possibly afford it, they had it. But there was like more of a set pattern. It was definitely a new outfit for Easter. That was part of Easter. And we didn't, you see, when I was born, you know, I can still remember rationing. We didn't have Easter eggs.
No.
We used to have cardboard eggs that my mum used to use over and over again, that split, that parted, with little things inside, and not necessarily things to eat. You know, perhaps things that we'd, little tiny things that we'd perhaps taken a shine to, and my mum had decided, right, Easter, I'll give that to Sandy, or I'll give that to Anne, and it used to be inside your Easter egg. But we used to go to walk from Highfields to Thurmaston Locks. And I've got great memories of the times we had on those fields where now it's a nature reserve, and it's very nice, King Lear's Lake. And my children have spent a lot of their childhood there as well. But I don't know how my parents first started going to Thurmaston, but that's where we used to go, to Thurmaston Locks every Easter. We used to walk with my parents to Ebbington. But Sunday afternoons, we'd been to church in the morning. Sunday afternoon, my parents used to say, right, what shall we do on Sunday afternoon then? Because, of course, you didn't sit in and watch television in those days, because we didn't have a television. And we used to say, oh, let's go down Chesterfield Road. And we used to go house spotting. And it was a big ambition. When my dad won the pools, which he used to do every week, we were going to buy one of these bay-fronted, semi-detached houses. And Anne and I were going to have separate bedrooms. Because although we were good friends, there was no privacy. We had to, when we were young, we had a tin bath in the kitchen. And then as we got older and we needed privacy, we used to go down to Spence Street Baths and have a slipper bath. Which I used to hate. You weren't allowed to turn the taps on or off yourself. The woman used to do that. You used to have to sit in queue. You never knew whether the bath was clean because the water was already in there when you went. And I could never tolerate really hot water. And my bath water was always too hot. And she'd be banging on the door, telling me to hurry up and come out. And I hadn't even got in the water because it was too hot. But I think I've run away with myself there. I can't remember what I was telling you. But that's that was our days out.
What about washing clothes?
My mum, well, when we first had the house, well, when, what my memories of when I was little, we had, my mum used to fetch the water in from outside, and one of those old-fashioned fireplaces with little ovens at the side. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, excuse me, we used to have like a shallow sink. I mean, useless things, really. Perhaps only, I don't know, perhaps 3 inches deep. Quite a big sink, but shallow. And we did have a drain outside, so the water did go, we had our own drain. But then I can remember we had a baby Burko. Things like my dad's shirts, I used to take up to the Chinese Laundry opposite Medway Street School. I can't remember my mum washing sheets. I mean, she must have washed sheets. I don't know whether she took them to the laundrette.
A laundry or a laundrette?
Possibly. I mean, I've got memories of a laundrette. I can see all these Bendix washing machines on St. Peter's Road. Whether that's... we most probably went to that laundrette. I can see all these Bendix washing machines. I can't remember, to be honest. No.
What about when you were an older teenager, from sort of 13, 14 onwards? What sort of things did you do for entertainment then?
By the time I was 13, I was still going to the youth club. I played netball. I played netball for the school, and that used to take, we used to have netball practice one night a week. Then I had a paper round morning and evening, so that used to take up some of my time. I used to go with my sister, as I say, you know, we were good friends, so I used to go with her and her friends. Sunday afternoon, when we got older, it was quite the done thing to go to Leicester Museum. Newark was a meeting place for young people. And I used to be really proud because my dad used to take us to the Leicester Museum on a Sunday afternoon, and he'd wear his drainpipe trousers and his Beetle Crusher shoes with all these music notes all over the front. And I'd see somebody from school, and then they'd come up to me on Monday and say, "Your boyfriend's a bit old for you," and it was my dad, and I used to think it was great. But we used to spend a lot of time at the museum, and I don't really think it was to improve our minds. I think it was more as a meeting place.
Yeah.
And say Newark was really good. I can't remember what else I used to do as a teenager.
There went dances on a Saturday night.
Oh, well, I lived at the Pally. right, the Pally, Friday lunchtimes, if I could possibly get to it on a Friday lunchtime. They used to have a lunchtime bop. Then every Friday night, Saturday night.
Friday lunchtime bops.
Yes, used to, a few of us used to dash down. Well, our school uniform could be enhanced by taking your flat Oxford shoes off and putting on a pair of white stilettos. And it was pale blue skirt and a gathered skirt and a pale blue blouse. And my mother's a good dressmaker, so mine always had nice styles, you know, with a sweetheart neck and puff sleeves and what have you. And put a white, broad white belt on and white shoes, and nobody'd know that was uniform. And we used to get on a bus on Melbourne Road and straight into Leicester, go to the BOP, and then dash back. And I went to Dale School, which is on Melbourne Road, which is was a mixed school, but the boys and the girls didn't mix. They had their own playground, we had ours, and the only thing we could actually see them through an arched door where the two sets of staircases, their staircase and our staircase, came down, and we used to mouth through the glass of these doors, but that's as near as we were allowed.
Were the classes mixed then?
No. Oh, no. We were not allowed. We weren't allowed to meet any of the boys out of their gate at home time, and they weren't allowed to meet us out of our gate.
So it was just two separate schools within the same building?
That's right. And all the only time you could see them was when you came down the stairs, because the staircases ran parallel to one another, was this archway with the glass doors. And we used to make arrangements through these glass doors, but if you were caught, you were really in trouble. But I've got happy memories of Dale. A really good school for me, because that's where I learned to cook. I learned to do my dressmaking there. Things that have stayed with me the whole of my life. We had a brilliant headmistress who ruled us with a rod of iron, Miss Bennett. I can even remember every toe on her feet, her bunions. I can remember the lot, because I have sat and looked at her feet for that many hours. Every Friday morning in assembly, because in those days you had assembly every morning. Friday morning was the big assembly, and every pupil had to take their satchel into the assembly. And as you sat there, she'd take this short service, and then she'd say, right, 3A, stand up with your maths book, open at your last piece of work. And she used to, the whole class would stand up, rifle through the satchels, they'd open the book and they'd be panicking because there was ink blobs, or there was perhaps a teacher had written something in red. And then Miss Bennett would come, and she'd come down the back of this row of girls, and she'd look over the shoulder, and then all you'd get is a push in the back that meant to go and stand by her desk at the front of the hall. And I've sat there looking at her feet as she's walked along this line. And I can honestly say that I was always treated very fairly by Miss Bennett. And also the deputy head was Miss Collier. And she always treated me very fairly. I think my mother must have had long chats with them before I went there, because they knew they'd got problems. But I got on very, very well at Dale. Very well, and they brought out in me the things that I am best at. Yeah. They put me in charge of the tuck shop as was. I mean, it's not as we'd know a tuck shop now. Then I helped in the school library because I was a good mixer. So anything that they could do, if ever we got parents' evening, I was always asked to help bring the parents in, because I enjoyed being with people. And then by the time I was there in my last year, I was made prefect, which to me was the thing out of my whole school life, you know, that I'd actually made it to be prefect. I got a deportment girdle, because in those days you were encouraged to sit upright. And I felt that my 4 years at Dale were four good years, and they'd definitely brought out something in me.
And you were still living in Highfields?
Yes, we left Highfields actually the week after I left school and moved to Thurmaston. I was just before I was 15.
And why did your family move?
There was going to be a ring road, and our houses were going to be knocked down for this ring road. Now, nothing has ever, ever come of it. But my parents decided to sell, and they found this bungalow. £1,500, I think it cost them when they bought it. No, that's wrong. £1,500. Yeah, £1,500, that's right, when they bought it. And I think they got, if my memory serves me right, and I'm almost sure of it, £200 they got for their cottage in Middle Street. £200. We'd had new floors, we'd had all the walls replastered. It was a little palace, an absolute palace, because my dad came from nothing. He used to go to school in his mother's shoes and lived in Wharf Street, which was a really rough area of Leicester. And I mean, I can remember my grandma, she was dirty, the house was dirty. And we used to drink out of jam jars in her house. And my dad really did something with himself and his home. And our house was like a little palace. We even had a fountain in our lounge. When my grandma had gone, because my grandma ended up going to Hillcrest in the end.
But she lived in your house?
She lived in our house, yeah. It's supposed to have been, she's supposed to have spent 6 months with us, then 6 months with one of the other, of my, you know, my aunties, and then, but it ended up by my mum had her all the while, through one reason or another, and it, my mum had a breakdown in the end because she just couldn't cope. Because my grandma literally was bedridden, you see. She couldn't do a thing for herself, and there wasn't the help that there is now. And she was a big woman. And she ended up going to Hillcrest. And my dad did all the front room out, and we used to go to Marvin's, the furniture shop on Wharf Street, for our furniture. And my mum and dad used to pay so much money every week. It wasn't our purchase, because it was paid for before they actually bought it.
Oh, right, yeah.
They paid
when
into like
paid,
a club.
They got it.
Yeah, and my dad had seen this fountain, and it was in, it was on a chrome base, and it was a plastic bowl, and it had, my dad used to put all plastic roses and things floating on the water. Mm. Sometimes we'd have pink water, sometimes we'd have green water. And then it had this fountain in the middle, and it was obviously electrical. And I can remember that, I'd forgotten that. Remember this fountain we had, and it was my dad's pride and joy, and everybody that came to the house, we used to have to take them into the front room to have a look at this fountain. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Can I ask you one last question that we're asking everybody? Mm. And it's, how does the Highfields you remember compare to Highfields today? This is your overall impressions of what Highfields was like.
Well, I always look back and think that it was a multicultural area in the early 50s, definitely that I can remember. I went to school with all sorts of different nationalities. I can remember the Chinese friends that I had. I can remember the Chinese laundries. We had Italians, we had Jewish people. So I think even in those days it had got all nationalities all getting on together. I don't know Highfields that well now, because only things that I read in the paper, and often that is not good things that I've read in the paper. I've been down Melbourne Road recently, and I'm glad to see the renovation that has gone on. I've been down East Park Road recently, and there's terrific renovation gone on there, which I'm really pleased about, because some of the property was beautiful. The lovely, lovely big houses, and they've been made into flats and that now, because people can't afford, ordinary people can't afford to run a house like that. But yeah, I think it's, even in those days it had got all mixed races, and we all got on really well together. So I think it's perhaps better now than it was perhaps 10 or 12 years ago, when the last time really I walked Highfields was perhaps 10 or 12 years ago, when I took my children to have a look round. And really, I suppose I ought to go and have a look round now, because the main roads I've seen definitely have improved. And to see the children, I went to a nativity play in Highfields this Christmas as with a group from Age Concern. And to see all those children all getting, and all the mums and the dads going to watch the children in this nativity play, and it was brilliant. It really was. I mean, you see all them kids all getting on, and all the parents all getting on. You think, well, what's the trouble about? You know, you don't know where it is. And that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think the area lends itself to getting on with other people. I don't see my neighbours where I live. I don't see my neighbours from 1 week to the next, because I've got a car, and because I'm the end house in a cul-de-sac, nobody passes my house.
And you've all got gardens all around.
Yeah, that are all fenced in. I mean, my children would no sooner think of calling the next door neighbour, auntie and uncle. I mean, I can remember when Coronation Street, the first time I saw Coronation Street, was on my Auntie Margaret's television. I think it was only 9 inches. I can remember, was it the wedding? Not the wedding. The actual coronation. It's not Coronation Street, it's the coronation, I remember. The coronation, going into my Auntie Margaret's house and watching that on their television. I can't imagine things like that happening nowadays. No, we got on really well. And I think the area lends itself, just the positioning of the houses. You've got to, if you live
that close together.
You've got to be more caring of one another, haven't you?
Yeah.